reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the pastor Timothy, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Serving in the parish ministry, you often run into some rather interesting situations. Remember years ago, a lady came to me to explain something about her condition. She had recently started coming to our church with her 4 or 5 year old son, and she planned to attend our church for maybe half a year or so and then move on, and didn't want to actually join, and was trying to keep her whereabouts, if you will, anonymous and hidden. And here was the reason why. When she had married her husband years earlier, he had claimed to be a Christian. And yet one day, after a number of years of marriage, she was going through some videotapes that they had and found one hidden behind everything and put it in the videotape player to see what was on it. And here it was a demonic service, a satanic ritual, and he was in those videos. Turned out that his father had been involved in this. And she knew that when she married him, and he had sworn to her that he had nothing to do with this, but now she found out the truth. And those videotapes also involved some children in the rituals. And she confronted him with this, and he said, "Yeah, I'm a worshiper of Satan. What are you going to do about it?" Well, she left him. And she now wanted to make sure that her little boy would not be taken into the same satanic worship. Talk about a bold way for the devil to try to get somebody. Now, the same devil that tried to get her son in that way, he's probably now in his 30s, I would guess. Is it possible that the devil has still tried to work on him in maybe a much more subtle way, possibly even through Christianity, to possibly try to get him to believe and trust in some things that even Christian teachers and preachers might put forth, but is twisted and wrong and false teaching? You know, if the devil had not been able to convince Judas through the love of money to get him away from Christ, do you think he would have stopped? Or would he have tried to come up with another one? He's more than happy to let me be able to keep 9 of the commandments as long as he can just have one to work on my heart to get me away from Christ. When a poisonous snake bites someone in the leg, that snake venom has a variety of arteries and veins to use as it tries to find the path of least resistance to the heart and to kill. And so it is with the poison of false doctrine. It will try to find in us and in our spiritual lives any weakness, any path of least resistance to try to ultimately take us away from Christ. St. Paul in our text is giving instructions to this young pastor, Timothy, warning him about the dangers that already existed in the early Christian church, even in the time of the apostles. And there were already heresies popping up of Gnosticism. The Judaic influence that remained in the church was trying to bring people back to various rituals from the Old Testament and so on. And he's warning him to beware of this venom, this poisonous venom that can even infect the church of God. Listen to what he says. He says, in latter times, some will depart from the faith. The Greek word there is the word for apostasy, to fall away. In latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed, that means listening to, deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy. This has happened in the church. And this is the warning that he's giving. You know, if you have been blessed to grow up with a knowledge of Christ as your Redeemer, if you have been blessed to grow up educated in the Word of God and hearing the Word of God regularly, and having been blessed to receive the sacrament of baptism, to have your sins cleansed and washed from you, if you've been taught to trust that in the work of Christ alone and not in yourself at all, but in the work of Christ Jesus alone, you have been saved. By grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works that no one can boast. If you have been taught to possess that and know that by faith, then you couldn't have a bigger target on your back when it comes to how the devil looks at this world. In order for Christians to be deceived by a lie, it has to be wrapped in enough truth for them to want to listen to it. The greatest threat to our Christian faith, for most of us, doesn't come from the invitation to satanic worship and isn't going to come from radical Islam or from Mormon missionaries or from Hare Krishnas handing out flowers at the airport. All of which could be dangerous. But the place where the danger could come to us is through Christian pulpits, through Christian literature, through Christian music that has just enough false teaching in it to deceive and lead us away. Rarely, his church historians will tell you, rarely does false doctrine enter the church and start, you might say, from the pews. It starts in pulpits. It starts in seminaries. It starts with the leaders of the church. And if Satan can't get you, in your generation, to buy into a lie, maybe he can at least get something in your thinking and in your spiritual life and in your religiosity enough to pull away your children or your grandchildren someday. Now, God would have us clearly have a respect for the ministry and the office of the public ministry and for his church, which he has established, where his truth is being taught in its purity. But let us never become so naive to believe that by belonging to a particular church body or by following a particular preacher or teacher that somehow we could never be misled. St. Paul had many opportunities to build a fan base of groupies to himself. But he didn't even trust his own theology above the Word of God, which is why he warned the Galatians that even if he returned with something different, they shouldn't listen to him. Years ago, I don't know if this is still true, but years ago, I heard that bank tellers, when they were being trained in order to help them learn how to spot counterfeit bills, they would put them in a room at a table with just hundreds of dollars, of real dollars, and just have them handle through it so quickly. And to do this so much and so frequently that if they ever had a counterfeit bill come through, they could spot it just like that. They knew what the real was so well that the false stood out. What a wonderful way to depict how God would have us be able to discern false doctrine. That we know the truth from his word so clearly and so well that when something contrary to that comes along, there's something about it that doesn't fit. How important it is for us to be well educated in the word of God, not simply our clergy and our teachers, but even our lay people. May we be like the lay people in the church in Berea who were told that when Paul came to teach them, they examined the scriptures every day to make sure that what he was teaching them was in line with the word of God. Study God's word. Study doctrine. Love the truth. Love how the history of that truth has arrived to us today. Cherish and protect the wonderful gospel that it brings to us. And in your generation, make this truth your own. You possess it. Don't just depend upon your parents and your grandparents. Study it yourself. Know it yourself. Grab it yourself. To demonstrate the importance of Christian education, I remember years ago a lady came to me from my church who had had her daughter in our Christian day school. Her daughter was 7 at the time. And she said, "Boy, did I ever see how important Christian education was this past weekend. We went to another church, happened to be a Lutheran church, and she said the sermon had nothing to do with the Bible at all. And on the way out, people were congratulating the pastor for a nice sermon. And as they went by the pastor, her little 7-year-old said to her, "Mom, how come the pastor never said anything about God or Jesus?" She was so impressed that her little child, armed with the Word of God, knew the gospel and knew the Savior. Why does God give us this warning and similar ones like it in Scripture? Because He doesn't want us to miss out on heaven. Your good shepherd, who has given His life for you, has laid Himself across the coals of hell so you could feel heaven, wants to make sure you get to walk with Him through your whole life and ultimately enjoy those green pastures someday. So may we then pray, "Lord, Lord, keep us steadfast in Thy word. Amen." Let us rise. Today we offer a special prayer on behalf of Kathy Huber, the mother of our Jeff Huber. She was recently diagnosed with breast cancer. We pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, in this time of trial for the Huber family, we entrust the health and life of Kathy into your good and gracious care. Through the talents and abilities of her physicians, bring healing and recovery to her body, if you so desire. Grant her and her loved ones a deeper confidence in your abiding presence and in the grace you have shown all of us through the work of your Son. In the days ahead, if it is your will, cause your holy angels to guard and protect all who travel, that we may return again refreshed to continue our studies. And we bring all our petitions before you in the name of your Son, our Redeemer. Amen.